going to see, like, I'm going to do this. I don't know if you'll be able to see it that well or not, but at least I'll be talking, and then that way we can kind of at least kind of follow along if you print off the sheets, worksheets. If not, then just good. We're definitely not doing, is it doing okay? Because I can, if it's doing that, let me know, and I can just turn off. All right, so our talk tonight, title of it is Unshakable. So we want to consider that this evening. And so it's something that I think all of us recognize. In times past, all of us have reacted in negative and unhealthy ways when faced with crisis. Yeah, it was, I don't know why it does that, but we're actually working on a different way of dealing with this, so I'll just talk, and then I'll go from there, and so I think all of us, some happened and we panicked, or we overreacted, we got really mad or really upset, and we weren't proud of how we responded. And sometimes, of course, when it comes to addiction, we realize that, especially in our path to recovery, some happened and then we just kind of lost it, and we ended up on the way further down than we ever expected. Right? So that happens sometimes, and it's unfortunate, but I think all of us can think of those times that it happened. So right now, we're in definitely a bit of a crisis with the threat of COVID-19 kind of hanging over our heads. And we're dealing with it from different ways, whether it's financially, whether it's health-wise, just anxiety-wise. And our concern is are we, like, we think, okay, this is, we're in a place with all things going on, it would be easy to fall back into that same path. But we know where it leads, and with all of us that you tune in as we've been going through this program, it's like we don't want to go back, right? We're tired of that. We know where it leads. It leads us nowhere. And so we want to respond in a positive and a healthy way. And so we want to get to a point when troubles come that we're unshaken. And it's something that we have a perspective of where, like you have in a certain situation where everybody's panicking, but then there seems to be one person in the group that just says, hey, it's going to be okay, follow me. And like where they have a level head, and they're able to navigate through and really are an inspiration to others. And we think of that, and we wish, boy, I would like to be that. I would like to be someone where things like this happen, and I just kind of shrug it off. It's like, hey, this is no big deal. I'm going to get through this, and this is not going to send me back a step. This actually is going to be a challenge that I'm going to face, test spirit shows you, okay, that might be where I want to be. You say, that's not where I am now. But I want to encourage you that we can get to a point in our lives when things happen like this and we can be unshakable. And we need to find out how we can get there. It's kind of, think of it this way, right? All of us familiar with GPS, how it works, is what do we push in? We put in a destination where we want to get to, right? And what do they need? They need us to have, where do we do from? And so what is your location? Where are you right now? And so once you have a pinpoint, okay, this is where I am, this is where I want to get to, then it plots out a route of how to get there. So that's what we want to kind of plot out today. Identify, okay, this is where I am, this is where I want to get to, and then this is how I get there. So that's what we're going to be focused on. So, I want to first look at the thought of where we are now. And so, we think of it that when we're dealing with the challenges of life that come our way, we tend to follow a negative pattern of reaction, right? That kind of this synapse is developed in our brain that things trigger us and this is where we are. So, this is more or less the pattern that we follow. First off, the difficult circumstance occurs, where it might be disappointment, discouragement, frustration, dealing with a difficult person, whatever it might be. We're in that situation, right? Then what happens, emotional reaction is triggered, right? That part of it, what seems to happen is like our rational thinking seems to shut off. Just the reacting emotion, like anger, like fear, any number of different things might happen. Feelings of despair, things are starting to creep in. We're reacting emotionally. Then thirdly, a mental health crisis is experienced, where basically we're finding we're struggling to be able to function, think clearly, rational decisions. We're just at a place where we're just, okay, I'm not in a healthy place here. You know, where sometimes that's when we do need help, we don't get that help that we need in those moments. Something else is not. And that brings us to the last one. So, and then when we're in that place, then a negative behavior is engaged in. And usually we do it one of two reasons. Either to alter the mood that we're in or to provide temporary escape from our present situation. So say if we're panicked, if we're full of anxiety, very nervous, then we take something to calm ourselves down. Or if we're or sometimes we do it the other way. Say if we're down and we're trying to pick ourselves back up, we're trying to give ourselves a boost, right? And so we might do any number of things. Or sometimes it's just to provide an escape. We don't know what to deal with. We don't want to deal with the situation. And so it's kind of try to find a way to run away. And sometimes it's just doing something for a moment where a mind can be elsewhere. So we think that for negative behavior, it can vary with all of us, right? And it's not something where we kind of really want to look at as one as a person or another or anything like that. We all do it. Like sometimes it could be some kind of drug of choice, the alcohol. Sometimes it could be where we're binge eating. Buy a whole bunch of stuff on Amazon or something. Yeah, retail therapy. And why did I do that? Now I have this big building. So there's a lot of things that we do, right? And we it's always frustrating. Is like when we find ourselves in this pattern, and it's like, I've been this, it's, this is familiar ground I'm walking on, and I don't like me, right? This is a lot of times what happens, that this reactions happen. This is how it is all. And the thing is we may assume that our reaction to these situations is uncontrollable and even justifiable. Sometimes that's the thing, is that we look at it, well, if this didn't happen, that I wouldn't have reacted this way. And if, especially when we're dealing with difficult people, it's like, if this person smartened up and wasn't such a jerk, then I wouldn't respond in this way. And we think of it that it's just like, well, this is, all this is happening around me, and I'm just kind of a victim of my circumstances. And we want to realize that's not true. And we never want to use, we want to understand that we can't justify wrong behavior. Just because something difficult happened in our life doesn't give us an excuse, right? That we have to say, wait a minute, this is wrong behavior, I need more time, and I need to stop making excuses. And the thing is, it's the truth is that we don't have to respond the way that we have to respond. We can respond differently, but we just haven't learned how to yet. And it just, it's the things that with different things that happen in our lives, trauma and difficult situations, it isn't like they tell you as a kid, oh yeah, this is going to happen to you at this age, and so this is how you deal with it. And a lot of times you're not expecting it when you're young and you don't have the tools to process it. And a lot of times we just grab whatever is handy, and it's often the wrong thing, and it just, but that's all we know, right? And so it's realizing, okay, along the way I never learned the proper coping, never learned the right way to deal with it. So I need to learn how to do that and find a way. But as well, blaming our reactions on our circumstances on other people will always leave us in a place of vulnerability to others. And that's the thing, is that, and that's a lot, principle number 10, which we'll look at next week, is where, how important it is for us to accept the blame for our actions. So often, it's just the way society is. It's not my fault, it's someone else's fault. Pass the buck. Say that I'm reacting this way because of my circumstances. My circumstances would just change, and my life could be better. I could be in a better state mentally, emotionally. The thing is, it's like we can't be in a better state mentally, emotionally, even if our circumstances don't change at all. It's a choice we have. That's the thing. If we're always blaming someone else, it's always someone else's fault. We're a victim. It's like, I can't help myself. You know, I'm waiting for the whole world to stop being crazy so that I can have some peace and sanity in my life. So right now, the world isn't going to stop being crazy anytime soon. So I need to find a way to find my own sanity right now. So we have to take responsibility for our reactions. And that's the thing. We want to think of it. Reaction, it's where it happens without us really even taking time to think through. So we don't want to react, we want to respond. We want to have a thoughtful response, not an emotional reaction. So we need to take responsibility when we see that. Okay, I got in a situation, I turned my thinking off and my emotions to the max, and I made some bad decisions. Shut off the emotion and instead focus on the calm thinking. And so it's a thought that we need to take time to evaluate our thought processes to recognize why we are allowing ourselves to be shaped by our circumstances. And we see this happening, and it happens over and over again. We have to ask, okay, why? Why is this situation, why does this trigger me so much? What is causing outside, but what on the inside is causing me to overreact in this situation. So I want to share just a few thoughts, just that you can use these questions as means of evaluating yourself and your reactions. So first off, have I been trying to control things that are out of my control? And you think about that. A lot of times, that's a way we try to deal with things. If I can get as much control in my life as possible, then that's the only way I can really have peace. But the thing is that there's so much that's out of our control. And for us to really waste kind of emotional energy, mental energy, being frustrated about wanting things to change that aren't going to change, right? Like, it could be anything in terms of, like, when the hockey season's going to start again, when some of these different rules are going to be lifted, when our adults are going to treat so that this virus is much of a threat, right? We're not in a position where we can change anything. And so for us to get all frustrated because of what's not in our control, there's no sense worrying about what I can't control. Let me focus. What can I control? What's right in front of me? And that's the thing, is we don't know what the future holds, but we think, okay, I have today. What can I do with today? How can I make this possible? Dealing with what's in our control, kind of, some ways, kind of pulling our world in a bit, and just saying, okay, let me just focus on what's in front of me, what I need to do now. Another thought, too, am I too emotionally invested in certain outcomes? And this is the thing, is sometimes we have it where we really want something to happen. And we basically stake our happiness on that event coming true. And it's just sort of this thought that if it doesn't, then we're going to be upset. And we really want to think about that. Do we want to do that? Do we want to tie ourselves down that much? That really kind of thinking, especially when dealing with other people, right? That with being a lot of things out of our control, that we need to just say, okay, this happened and it's going to be okay. And it's kind of, you think of it when you're young, right? And you're learning, when you're playing games, like you have to learn to win graciously, you have to learn to lose graciously, right? And when you're watching your favorite sports team, right, it's like if you're if they lose and you're like super upset and you're mad and everything, it's like, okay, you had nothing to do with it, you weren't on the field. It's like, why are you so invested in this? Okay, this is something that happened. It's unfortunate they lost, but life goes on. So tied up emotionally in this. If this happens, I'll be happy. If it doesn't, I won't be happy. Say whether it happens or not, I can still be happy. I can still have a good attitude and want to learn to do that. Thirdly, would too high of a view of my own self-importance be fueling my overreaction? And so we want to think about this. A lot of times our pride gets us into trouble. Ourselves a lot more highly than we should. And a lot of times, especially with dealing with people, we get upset with the way they treat us. And it's like, how dare they treat us? And don't they know how important I am? And it's the thing is that a lot of times that we get upset, we get offended, we get our noses on a joint, where really we're just not really thinking clearly. Taking too much on, we're thinking we're too important, and we need to just relax. That especially in a situation that everybody's in the same boat. We don't want to have this kind of me first attitude and push everyone else aside. We instead want to have a good attitude with each other. So we want to identify that. Sometimes we are going by this me first. And any time where we're like that, we're going to be miserable. I just guarantee it. That's, we're focused on me first all the time. We're never going to be happy. We're never going to be satisfied. And life is going to be stressful. Fourth thought, am I looking at luxuries as entitlements? And that's kind of the thing. You really think about where we are in society compared to most everywhere else in the world, right? We have it pretty good. Even in this time where things are not as good as they could be, we still have it pretty good, right? And it's, sometimes the thing is that we get too used to a certain standard of living, certain quality of life, and we just expect that that's always going to be the case. We're always going to have that. And if we have a downturn, we have to make do with less, then we're really suffering. And yet even us, when we're like have less, we're still probably way ahead of most people in this world. And so we don't want to look at what are luxuries as entitlements. We don't want to look at blessings as being our birthright. We want to kind of say, okay, this is something I don't actually need. It's nice to have. I'm going to enjoy it while I have it. And if it comes to a point where I don't have it anymore, well, that's okay. I'm going to be okay with it. And really kind of learning to be happy and content with less is very important. And we can learn how to do that. And probably should have learned how to do that. But finally, is like, have I been relying on what is untrustworthy? That there's a lot of things that we put our confidence in. We assume that they're always going to be there. And we're really finding with our situation right now, a lot of what we trusted in isn't there for us, right? That we have this expectation of just sort of a certain financial level. And that's all up in the air right now, that we can't trust in uncertain riches. That there's people that maybe we relied on and we find that okay, they're not coming through. Maybe they just didn't want to, not willing to do what's necessary. For some of them, it just maybe they tried and they just didn't have the ability to keep going. And so a lot of times we get upset because we're relying on something, relying on someone, and then they let us down. And we have to really evaluate, instead of getting mad at that person or that thing or even at God for that thing not coming together like we hoped it would, we really have to evaluate, okay, am I upset because I was trusting for the wrong thing? And so we have to think those things through. And so these are just different questions and ask ourselves just to see, okay, where am I now? Why am I reacting the way I am? We do need to understand ourselves. It's part of our self-care that when we're seeing ourselves responding in a different way, we have to actually break it down and see, okay, why? What is, where am I going astray with my reactions? And it's sort of, as we realize those things, it's almost like we take those parts of the equation and replace them with something. So then we consider where we are now, so we want to consider where we want to get to. And so this is in Psalm 112, and it's an interesting passage I just wanted to share with you. And it talks about the upright, and we've talked about that before. Upright has the idea of being morally sound in different ways, but kind of how we pictured it, right? When you're doing right, you're on the right path in life, You're not hunched over, ashamed of what you're doing, right? When you can walk with your head held high, that's the idea that you're up to, right? That you're on the right path to do it. So that's what we want to be. But it says, under the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He's gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. Good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be ruled forever. Righteousness shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in him. And so we want to consider that. There's just different details there that we really can kind of meditate on and see that, hey, this is what I want. This is how I want to be responding to different troubles and trials in my life. So we're kind of just going to pick this apart a little bit as we kind of talk about dissecting and defining. And so when troubles arise, we want a response to have the following characteristics, which really we see outlined in this passage here. First off, we see we want to have vision. That's where he says the upright arises light out of the darkness. And that's the thing, that a lot of times where something difficult happens, we're struggling to find our way through, but we want to be able to see a path forward out of the darkness. That we know, okay, this is what I got to do, this is how I deal with this issue, and we're going to get a way out of this. We have purpose, we have hope. Secondly, we have the thought of compassion. Right? And it talks about there, he's gracious, full of compassion, righteous, he showeth favor and lendeth. That in a crisis situation, what happens a lot of times? We're upset and we're lashing out at everyone around us for what they're failing in. They haven't fulfilled what we thought, expected of them, and so we're angry. Instead, don't we want to be where, yeah, things are going difficult, everybody's under stress, but you're able to go to people, you're encouraging them, to be okay, some of the things happen. This person, they have it maybe worse than I do, I'm going to give them some just to help them through. That's, I think, what we want, where we have that, where instead of lashing out, we're helping others, we're being kind. Lose our humanity just because we're dealing with something difficult. Thirdly is the idea of discretion. It talks about he will guide his affairs with discretion. And discretion is the idea is where we're, it has to do with wisdom. Where we're kind of thinking things through and we're thinking, okay, what's the best response in this situation? How should I act? And so, that's what we want to do, is that we still make good choices. Because so often in a crisis situation, there's panic, right? And we've seen plenty of that with this crisis that we're going through, where people are like cleaning out shelves at the grocery stores for different things, and just not reacting in a way that's really good for them or anyone else, right? And so having this discretion where we can just be calm, we're not going to panic, fourth is the idea of calmness, where it says he shall not be moved forever. That like things are happening, but we're kind of just joking, where we're just, okay, everything's all right. We're not overwhelmed with anxiety. We're just level-headed. And then finally, the idea, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. That we have this that where tough times and challenges come, but we're not running away. We're going to be there. I remember working with one guy that was a painter, a really good painter. But I remember there was different times where just stresses got to his life, and like, he'd be doing a job together, and then he'd be like, where is he? He can't get him on the phone, and days where kind of fell off the wagon and kind of that's the thing, is we don't want to have that, right? We don't want that to be bad at the form. We want it to be where we can be there and hold the line and stay steady. Because we realize that, especially, say, if we're later in our home in different ways, as a parent, especially that we want to be, when others are maybe struggling, we want to be that rock for them, right? So that's what we desire. So we see this. This is what we want to have coming out when we're in a crisis situation, right? We're unshakable. And these are the responses that we have. So we think about it. This is where we are. We've identified. This is where we want to go. And so we want to say, how do I get there? And so we see how it says there, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Trust me in the Lord. And so that's the thought, is how we get there is through faith. That's what we want to talk about. Many are times is that you faith and having, we'll be unshakable if we develop an unshakable. As a thought, when we're dealing with challenges much greater than ourselves, and you think of it that, like we're caught in a storm, it's more than we are, it's much bigger than we are. But when that happens, we need to have something even greater to which we can be named. And that's the thing, something that's greater than the storm, right? Something that's designed to withstand the storm. We're anchored to that. Then we're going to be okay. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to get upset. We can just hang on. And so we want to see from the scriptures that God is willing and able to serve as that firm foundation in which we can anchor our lives. He talks about in Isaiah 28, he says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. This idea that he has provided a foundation for us to build our lives on, that we can be anchored to. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about this hope that is set before us, that is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. And we have a hymn that we sing, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while it goes forward. We want to have that connection. So that whatever happens, we're not blown off our moorings, but we're kept in the same place. And I think a big spot in the Bible that really talks about this, this is Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 7. This is kind of a parable he gives, or comparison. And he says this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and the great was fallen. That's the idea that we have founded on a rock, then we can get through the storm. Wind and the rain and everything else coming, and yet we don't move. We're sturdy. We don't fall. We keep standing. And that's what we want. And so we want to think about that, that we have where we are, and then we have who God is, and we know He is that rock that we can have in our life. We can have that resiliency and really be unshakable in life. But we want to think in terms of it this way. In terms of our connection to our foundation. Okay? Because I remember years ago hearing of this, I believe it was a hog barn or a shop or something like that. I can't remember specifically. But what happened there is a windstorm that came, and it ended up blowing this building over, and it collapsed. And they kind of looked at it, and they're like, how in the world did this happen? It had a good, solid foundation, and the frame was strong. Why to happen. And so they got looking, and this is what happened. See, when they built the foundation, they put a bunch of anchor bolts and embed them in the concrete around the perimeter. And so that was to anchor the framing down onto the foundation. And so as they were putting the bottom plates on, getting them set up for the walls, they had to string them out, mark where all those anchor bolts were, and drill holes in the bottom plate so that then when they lifted up the wall sections, that they would drop down onto those anchor bolts. And the thing was, what happened is they did that, and then what needed to happen is they needed to just basically put a washer and a big nut on the top of those anchor bolts and then tighten it down so that that plate was firmly attached to its foundation. And what happened is they were busy with framing, and they thought, we'll do that eventually. We're busy right now. We'll get to that later. But what ended up happening, they didn't get to that later. They forgot. They pushed it off. And you think that for a building of this size, at most, say, if they had 30 nuts and washers, you think of how much in terms of cost that would be. What would that be? Maybe $5 if you're lucky, probably less than that, right? But for the lack of those $5 of nuts and washers being put on, that they had thousands of dollars that just was wasted with this building being destroyed. It didn't have to be wasted. So we want to think of it in that way, that we have us, the structure of our lives. You know, we have to be connected to that firm foundation. And so what is that anchor that to do that way of connecting ourselves to that foundation. And so that's where we get the idea of faith. And faith is like that. And so faith, which is demonstrated by obedience to God and His Word, serves as the mechanism by which we anchor our souls to God's strength and wisdom, enabling us to respond positively. Where we trust God, that we rely upon Him, that because we have faith in Him, we do what He directs us to do. And that's what Jesus talked about. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And it isn't just, we get this information that comes in, but then we never put it into practice. It's where, this is life-giving me, this is important, this is going to keep me from trouble, this will help keep me in a good mental state, and so I need to respond to this. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what we see with Psalm 112. The whole idea, the beginning of that psalm, it says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." And so that's really, you think, the foundation to all the other stuff that we saw in terms of how He's able to respond in times of crisis in a positive way. It's because He's delighting in God's commandments. He's putting them into practice in His life. Making a difference in that way. And so that's what we want to learn to do. It is to exercise faith in these different situations, faith in God. And that anchors us to that sure foundation of God and keeps us going so that when things happen, that we aren't shaken. And so we want to think of it in light of what we talked about with the response in Psalm 112. That our faith and trust in God and His Word serves as the basis for our desired response. I just want to kind of work through this and kind of show you how this all works. And first off, that we want to have vision, that we need to have light arise in the darkness, so we know the path to take to do that, right? And it talks about in Psalm 119, verse 105, that Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And when we don't know what to do, go into God's Word, we say, Lord, I need some wisdom, I need some guidance, and He can give us just, it might just be a phrase or a verse, and we say, okay, that helps. That's what I need. I put this into practice. That will give me guidance in this situation. And Proverbs 6:23, same idea, that the commandment is a lamp, the law is a light, it's an instruction of the way of life. That we see that, that it guides us, it helps us to know which way to go. We see from God and His Word that it helps us to develop compassion. And really, we think of this, that so often we look to Christ as our example. Because you think of what happened to Him, and we'll be kind of going through this tomorrow, Good Friday, but where He went through all this suffering and mistreatment by these other people unjustly, and He could have been very upset and very bitter and angry at them. That would be our reaction, but then what does He do instead? He says, Father, forgive them. I don't know what they did. And He was able to respond with kindness and positivity. That He had these two thieves on the cross, and they were making fun of Him for part of the time, but then one of them kind of changed his mind and said, well, Lord, just remember me. And He could have said, well, remember what you said to me? Well, I'm just, you're on your own, buddy. But it said, no, today you'll be with me in paradise. He was willing to care for this guy that had just mocked him just maybe an hour or so before. So we see that, that following what God's Word teaches, that it helps us to respond with compassion. And we see, talks about in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 8, which says, finally be of all one mind, have compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, where we have compassion for one another. It talks about in Hebrews 5 verse 2, speaking of how we can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, that He Himself also is compassed with infirmity. And that's the thing, is we can get frustrated with people, especially in time of crisis, but when we kind of, again, we don't think so high of ourselves that we're perfect, that we realize, yeah, I've responded that way before. I don't always get it right either. I can give that person a benefit of the doubt, cut up some slack, have some compassion on them. And so we see that. That's what the Bible teaches us now, what it directs us towards. But then discretion. How we're responding, we're not reacting, we're not being foolish in what we're doing, that we're able to respond in a positive way. And again, Jesus is our example. Talks about Him in 1 Peter chapter 2, that He left us an example that we should follow His steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him. All the way through in His great ordeal of His suffering, that we find that He conducted Himself so well that He wasn't making out accusations, He wasn't defending His rights, He was just letting things happen and told them to go with Him as He did, that it was for a great purpose. And so we see that in the discretion that He had and in the example. Having calmness, that the Bible teaches us how we learn to commune with our own heart and be still. And know that God is God, that we think He's, Psalm 46, He's a refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble, so I don't need to be afraid. Even though the whole world seems to go upside down, God's with me, God's a refuge, He's with me, I don't have to be afraid. And it's interesting, Psalm 131, it's a very short psalm, but it has some big truth. And again, this kind of speaks as to what we've been talking about, where he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. And you think of that, when you have an infant, they kind of have this thought that everything isn't perfect, that they're crying and fussing and everything else, right? But as they get to a certain age, they learn to just settle down. They say, I'm okay, I don't need to fuss. So it's a thing that we look at sometimes when we get upset. It's almost like we're having a temper tantrum. It's a way of it. I'm an adult. It's not that. It's just not that usual. And so instead, we're being calm. We learn to quiet ourselves. I don't need to panic. I don't need to overall stability. That's what God wants to build into our lives, so that we're someone that others can count on. It talks in Colossians chapter 2. It says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's the thought, is that we're rooted and we're established in the faith, we're strong, we're trusting Him. And in a time where everything's going wrong, everybody's frustrated, instead we're able to abound with thanksgiving. That we're saying, hey, this, I'm glad of this that happened, and we're looking at the positive. That's very key. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 speaks of this thought as well. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That we can have that stability as we're connected to Him. That we don't have to be afraid. We can stay on the right track. Excuse me. And so, with just a few thoughts as we close tonight. See, a lot of times we think in terms of faith. Well, faith is just something weird that, how do I understand that or function with that? But we want to understand this way, that we exercise faith every day. We're always putting our faith and trust in something. And so our question is that we have to ask, in what have I chosen to place my faith? And have I chosen wisely? Am I trusting in my own wisdom and stamina to be able to handle this situation? Am I trusting in riches, trusting in my job, trusting in my government, trusting in the healthcare system, all these different things? I think that I should be able to trust them, but now we're kind of on shifting sand. So we have to ask, have I chosen wisely? Have I put my faith in the right thing? And we really have to examine that. And so, we think of it, the storms of life threaten to shake us to our very foundations of our life. It basically is kind of a proving to show, okay, is your foundation going to withstand this? What I'm trusting in going to get me through this difficulty? And so, it's the thing that it'll show when we go through situations like we're going through right now, what my foundation is and whether it's actually the right foundation. So if we've chosen to anchor ourselves to the right foundation, we're not going to be shaken in the storm. So more than anything else in this world, God is the firm foundation we need. So as we learn to respond in faith, we can become unshaken. That's my hope for each of you and for all of us, that we can get to that point on having, being unshakable, or we're the calm one in the midst of the storm, or what's going on, and where other people are panicking, or we're have a stable, focused view of the world and what's going on. So we're going to kind of build on this next week, and it's the idea that we want to develop how to have a faith response and learning practical ways, and so encourage you to next week. So that's the lesson for this evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. Appreciate you tuning in. And if this is a help to you, if you think it might be helpful to others, challenging time, but we can do this together, and God wants to see us through it, so that's what we trust Him. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, highly.